Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of the Getting to Know You podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Bradley, and today I'm joined by a very, very special guest, somebody who has certainly taught me a lot about the way, not just the TV studio, but a lot of other media orgs work as well. An overall excellent human being. Please welcome on Aaron Valentino. Aaron, how are you?
Good. Jacob, I'm not Brian Rudman. I haven't exactly, I don't think I've taught you as much as he is.
I was thinking about it last night after the Laker connections, and I was thinking like the different ways that everybody, all the seniors that'll be leaving have like impacted me and shaped me. And I always thought you were like the first person to talk more about like my personality to an extent. Like you, the other, like Mike and Brian were more like, they liked me as the broadcaster. They like this. You, on the other hand, I felt like enjoyed me as a person before. Not like they don't, but you were right. The first introduction I had into somebody saying, use more of your personality, get more of that out there. So that's where I find your influence on me has been.
Yeah, I think, we're already talking about broadcasting here. You haven't even asked me a question yet. But I think, part of that is when I came here, it was more about being stiff and acting a certain way. And I never quite understood that. And I think that's why I think that's why broadcasting is for me, is because you're supposed to show personality. Exactly. And sports are fun.
They are.
Right? We broadcast sports. So it's supposed to be fun. You're supposed to have fun with it. And when you do that, oftentimes you're broadcasting, when whatever you're doing in life, I guess in general, comes out a lot better.
No, I agree with that 100%. If you got a personality, you might as well show it, because there's nothing worse than sitting down watching any type of sporting event and, it's droning and droning and droning. And I know we're both baseball guys, so the sport alone, it's pretty boring itself. But they throw in a boring broadcaster and it makes it worse. But Aaron, before we get deeper into broadcasting, because I'm sure we will as the episode goes on, why don't you tell anybody who might not be familiar with you a little bit about you?
Yeah, I'm Aaron Valentino. I'm the sports director for another, 8 days? Less than 8 days here at WNYO. It's been a great last 2 years here. I'm from a small town in New Jersey called Green Township, New Jersey. I went to Newton High School. Family eventually moved to Hackettstown, New Jersey, which where they reside now. I'm a big baseball fan. I'm a big football fan. And overall, I feel like, I feel like broadcasting has taken over a lot of my personality. The quiz, which I know we're going to get into later, asked if you have a calling in life. And I clicked, I think the best response you could give is very much like me.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I clicked for that.
So at what, like, when did you decide that was your calling in life? Like, when was that moment for you?
I was a pretty terrible athlete as a kid. even now, still a pretty horrendous athlete. But I love sports. Since I was really 10, my earlier years, I didn't love sports, but since I was really 10 years old, I've loved the New York Mets. I've loved the New York Jets. I always wanted to be involved in sports, but I couldn't play them. And the next best thing was talking about them. And I've really known since I was like 12 years old that I wanted to do something in sports broadcasting.
Yeah. I think Mike had almost a similar story as well.
Yes. Like, yeah. I listened to some of, I didn't get to listen to all of it. I want to finish the episode later, but yeah, I did hear that.
Part, yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's just about everybody you can see is just, want to be involved in sports, but we weren't the athletes. But, and not to take the attention off of you, but I read Brandon's thing for the Oswegonian that he put out, and he had something similar to say like that, where he might have never stepped foot on a court or on a field, but he felt like he was a part of it. First 4 years, is that a similar experience for you as you get set to wind things up here as we go?
That's a really good question, because again, at the beginning of my time here, it was kind of ingrained into my brain that I wasn't a part of the team, that it's a separate entity. I think it depends on how close you cover the team, right? My first, I'll say 2 years here, junior year, the COVID year, there was nothing really going on. But my first 2 years, when I covered the Oswego State men's hockey team, that was definitely more of a coverage thing. I never really talked to the players. Sophomore year, I did like maybe once or twice. And this year, I really got into the nitty gritty of it. I was talking to Gosick probably twice a week for whiteout. Yeah. I was at practice every day. I talked to Gosick every day. And I talked to a lot of the players, on the ice and outside of the ice. And you do feel like, you're a part of it to a certain extent. But again, it depends on the team and it depends on how close you cover them, I think, personally.
Yeah, I mean, it was an excellent read if you want to go check it out. Yeah, I know Brandon's.
Yes, definitely go check it out. I have to pick up, I read the copy online. I have to go pick up a physical copy.
It's really a good read. But Aaron, you're like the first person that I've had on here that has been more on the radio side of productions over the TV side. But you've done both. I know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you got your start in WTOP.
Yeah, wow, I'm surprised. Did you do a background check on me before?
I have my sources.
Yeah. So basically what happened was the TOP interest meeting was before the NYO one, I think. And I was actually late to the TOP one. Like, I didn't realize it was going on until I checked Twitter.
Yeah.
And saw that, you know, it was going on. So I immediately got up. I ran to Lanigan. And I think I'm like 90% sure I missed Brittany Caron speak. I was all the way in the back. I couldn't really see anyway, because at that time it was in like a Lanigan classroom, not the auditorium in 132. So I couldn't really see what was going on. So afterward, I went up and talked to her, and she was like, "There's a crew position open for this soccer game on Friday." And I think I was like the only non-e-board member, e-board member or like prod member to do that game with all of them. So I did it with like all the really experienced people. Mm-hmm. Brittany really kind of took me out of her wing. She taught me a lot. She did a lot of things right. I think, you know, a lot of people will say that, you know, she ended up doing, you know, she made a couple of mistakes, but you know, we all do. Yeah. I do every single day. Even as time has gone on, I've really realized how much she taught me. But, you know, I did more of the background stuff. I was on her board a month into the year. And Shelby, I don't remember. I don't know how to pronounce her last name, so I'm not going to say it. But Shelby, the news director my freshman year said to me, like, that's unheard of. Like, a freshman being on sports board, mm-hmm. Being on tier four, is, like, completely unheard of, which made me feel really good. And so that entire year, I worked very closely with Brittany. I worked very closely with her board. And Gross and Brian did a lot of the, you know, on-air stuff. And while it was good to get my feet wet, I really genuinely feel like I learned a lot. It's because of that year I ended up getting a lot of on-air time with Laker Connections, and I eventually taking over that show. At the end of my freshman year, I won TOP Rookie of the Year.
Really?
Yes. Not a lot of people know that, which is like the second... I'm like pretty sure you'll see when you go to Toppers this year. I think it's an award. Actually, I think you are up for.
I am up for.
Yes, you are up for. Even though you're a sophomore, but last
it's tough
year again.
Competition.
Yes. I won TOP Rookie of the Year, which is something I don't really hold. I don't know why I never held it over Gross and Brian's head. I should. Yeah, maybe the last 3 weeks here, I gotta really like nip that in the bud. But yeah, I won TOP Rookie of the Year, and I was gonna be Sports OPA. Which is Jack's position right now, but I wanted to host Laker Connections because that's really what I want to do. I want to be on air. And Michaela Green, former PA, former PM, former VP of Prod, said to me like, "Well, if you're Sports OPA, you can't host Laker Connections just because you would need to work Laker Connections, this, that, and the other thing." And I was like, "Well, that's a non-negotiable. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to do that." And a lot of people at NYO were leaving at the time, at the end of my freshman year, going into my sophomore year. And I was like, there's an opportunity, and I think I need to take advantage of it. And it ended up working out. I was the host of the Countdown of Face Off my freshman year, which is like one of the biggest on-air positions you can get at WNYO. My sophomore year, I got that position. I was asked to be assistant sports director at the end of that season. And then 2 weeks later, the school shut down. So, and because of that, you know, everything was such a scramble. I ended up getting elected sports director anyway. And I really didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to set up the Comrex. I didn't know how to start the stream. I didn't know how to do anything. And now all of a sudden, I'm the sports director. And, you know, I didn't know who to contact about anything. I didn't really know what the sports director did at NYO because, you know, I kind of joined... You know, not that I joined late, but I didn't, you know, really have a leadership role in any capacity at NYO. And the only thing I knew was from watching Brittany.
Yeah.
So I took a lot of my leadership style and what she did over the past 2 years, and that's pretty much how I learned from just watching Brittany over the course of my freshman year.
So yeah, so moving from the TOP side to NYO, and taking such a prominent role so quickly, was that a bit intimidating for you to come into that like that?
Yeah, I was definitely nervous because, like, you know, the core part of being sports director of NYO is knowing how to set up the Comrex. Yeah. And I had no idea how to do that because I never had to learn. And when I was going to learn, the school got shut down. Mm. So thank God Matt was here. Matt, I wouldn't say taught me a lot about being sports director, but he taught me like the stuff that I needed to know, how to set up the Comrex, how to start the stream, how to test levels. And all that, and all the emailing and stuff I learned from Brittany.
Yeah.
So I had those two people in my life that really, you know, taught me a ton. And yeah, I was definitely intimidated, and especially, you know, with no sports in the fall semester, it was kind of like, well, now I kind of got to wait this out, and yeah. I still don't know how to do everything, and everything's still shut down. So yeah, definitely intimidating, but it all worked out in the end.
Yeah, I was just talking with Brian the other day. It wasn't on the show or anything, but and he had, you know, because he kind of had a similar role as you. Like he got put in the sports director during the pandemic as well, and he said how it was a lot of learn on the fly type stuff.
Yeah, but he when I said I think if things went a little bit differently, and this isn't a harp on. Yeah. On Brian, but I probably would have been sports director to be. I never could have done it.
Yeah.
Never in a million years could I have ever done Brian's job. But if I stuck with if I was sports OPA freshman year, I definitely, or I would have at least competed with Brian for sports director of TOP.
Yeah.
And when I left and I told Alex that I wasn't, that I wasn't going to be on the board because I wanted to host Laker Connections, he immediately like went to Brian and asked Brian to be his assistant. And Brian was trained the entire year, like I did with Joey this year and like what Brian did with Bubba this year. So he knew a lot more than I did.
Yeah, but
going into this year.
But let's get into the Laker Connections and the relationship with Brian. You know, that is such a unique show when it comes to things that are on TOP as far as the sports side go, because of how I forget who I talked to yesterday about it, but it's a very technical show. There's a lot of elements, a lot of stuff in. And to an extent, I mean, I watched some of your older episodes. It was a very serious show, and you guys have turned it on, and your chemistry and your friendship shows through that. So what is it like having that type of a show with somebody like Brian?
Yeah, I think, you know, freshman year Brittany Cairns produced it, and Brittany's a very good producer. She's at ESPN. She's not producing yet. She's in the ESPN Next program, but she'll get there eventually. She's that good. And I think she knew what she was doing for the most part. She knew how to do it, but she didn't exactly know how to give the show structure. And it wasn't until spring semester of my freshman year, that's when I became the assistant producer of the show. Jake Vanderbrook had graduated. Brandon Ash, you know, we don't have to get into it, but went on to do other things. And she brought in Cole Parsick and Ben Grieco to host the show for that semester. Cole was graduating, and then, you know, we didn't know what we were going to do with Ben afterward. But and I was the moderator and assistant producer. And Dan Corlett kind of showed Brittany that, you know, there you can make a template and just do the same show every single week. And we're still using that template now. Mm-hmm. Bubba and Jared are going to be using that template next year and years after that, unless they decide to make any dramatic changes to it. I don't think they should, because I think it works well and it makes it so much easier. Mm-hmm. So that helped a lot. But Brittany was just a very serious person and a very serious producer, rightfully so.
Yeah.
And you know, that's where Brittany and I would butt heads all the time, is I'm not a serious person. And oftentimes I find that if I get to show my personality, it comes out better. And Brian was also a student of Brittany. He learned a lot from her, and he didn't always butt heads with her because he, you know, I don't want to say he agreed with her, but he just thought that that's what you did.
Yeah.
And it didn't take actually until Brian being in Professor Ricky's 429 class, and Brian's very talented. He was very talented 2 years ago. He was probably more talented than me, you know, when we started coming up and doing all of this stuff. But I always was like, he's very monotone and very flat. And I like always thought that about him. I would tell him that, you know, kind of that he, you know, he could be a better broadcaster if he just showed a little bit more of his personality, and he never really took it. And it wasn't until Ricky critiqued him the next class and was like, "Brian, you sound like Eeyore up there." And like since that moment, his entire broadcasting career has completely changed. And it's been great for me because I've been able to feed off of it. I've been able to, you know, we've been able to help each other through that. And the show is, you know, in my opinion, just gotten so much better over the years. And I think that's a huge part of it. And I remember after doing the first show last semester, I got home before him. He had some other stuff to do. And I was like, I was in the kitchen eating and he walked in the house and I was like, "Who are you? I don't know what you did with the old Brian Rudman, but I absolutely love the new one." Yeah. And because of that, it's been able to grow. And, it, you know, to get back to the original question, Brian and I have always been, you know, the two people at TOP. We've been nominated for WTOP 10 Best Friends, I think, every year. We've yet to win the award, which is ridiculous, in my opinion. But yeah, we've always been, I don't want to say the top two because Gross, Ladd, Jake, Ben Kinney, a couple other seniors have obviously played big parts in each of the organizations. But, you know, we've always kind of been the two that definitely the older people when we were younger looked to as like the two guys, the two future, I think. Mm. That sounds like a brag, but like...
No, it's true though.
You know, Ladd went on to be the editor-in-chief of the Gonian. Jake was my play-by-play guy for the men's hockey team this year. Gross has just done everything. Gross has literally done everything. He's been the assistant sports editor. He's called the Suniac Championship for basketball. He's called a couple hockey games. He's hosted Whiteout twice. And he's been on a Whiteout broadcast three times. All three. He went 3 for 3. But yeah, no, my relationship with Brian is always just it's always been like that.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the other relationships you've been able to build through TOP and just the Meteorics in general. Before we get more into that, let's talk about you coming into college originally. Was it easy for you to meet people? How was your initial college experience before you even joined the Meteorics? Even if it was just a little bit of time.
I mean, it was really only a week.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to think. Yeah. I mean, once I went to that meeting, I was pretty much all in. I went to the TOP meeting, did that soccer game. I went to the NYO meeting a week later. Brian and I did a show called Liberty Sports our first semester and through the first three semesters here. How did I meet people? Brian was in BRC 108 with me, and he also lived on my floor. He didn't live in my wing, but he lived on my floor. I'm trying to remember how I met Jake. Because through Jake, I remember I had met him, and then he was like to me, "Hey, me, my roommate Brendan, and these two girls, Colleen and Shelby, are going to this magic show tonight. Do you want to come?" And like from that, I met Kevin from that. I met Brendan from that. And then Ladd actually DM'd me on Twitter and said to me, "Hey, I'm in your BRC 108 class. I have a show on NYO called The Unknown Strike Zone that I do by myself. I want to get more guests on the show, and I think you and Brian would be perfect for it." And the rest, as they say, is history. Yeah.
That's so cool, man. Like, it is. I always enjoy hearing that aspect of it, especially because everybody's got their own different story and getting to meet people and everything, and just watching like how things have grown, and now like walking in and almost in the middle of your guys' story here, or even towards the end. It's like, wow, like you wouldn't even know that there was a time that you guys didn't even know each other.
Yeah, I've pretty much always known everybody because, again, Jake lived on my wing. Mm-hmm. Ladd was in my class, and Brian lived on my floor and was in my BRC 108 class and then another class after that. So, yeah, there wasn't a lot of time that I didn't know these guys. I've known them all. Even Gross. Gross I met... I don't remember the day I met Gross, but he was just always around because he was just always just so super talented.
Yeah, you see familiar faces in that studio all the time, and then it is kind of cool to see how they go from just being faces to just more and more and more as you go in
Yeah,
along. I just think it's so cool.
Yeah, no, it is. The relationships that the three organizations build, I think is great. And you know, it's kind of an environment like no other. Like if you go to like the TOP newsroom, right? Like you go and you work with them, you put on a newscast with them, or you put on a sports broadcast with them, and then you go and you hang out after.
Yeah.
I don't think you do that in the real world. I don't know. Maybe you do.
Maybe.
But I have no idea. I have yet to find out. But it's, you're able to just build that, build a relationship like that.
Yeah. And then as you go along through TOP, I know you've met some other people as well. Do you want to get into depth in any of the people you've met as you've grown through the Media Orgs?
I think Abby and Lily this year have been a big part. Lily's my girlfriend. She's been a very big part of my life this year, and she's so talented and so amazing. Abby too. Abby, took on a role that I think she was a little bit nervous to take on at first, and she's done a great job as the general manager here. You, Spizak, Garrett, Jared Wakefield, big shout out to him. He's just been such a big help this year.
He's walking around as we speak.
Yes. Jared, no. you guys are just incredibly talented, all of you. And I've really recognized that from the beginning is that, and I think I was saying to Lily or Brian the other night, I really wish I had like one more year to work with you guys, because it would have been a lot. This sports talk, Laker Connections rivalry is great. Like it's so fun.
It is fun.
To me at least. I don't know. Fun. Brian and Jake and Spizak take it very seriously. And it's very like the two of them like come after each other's throat. And it's scary. Like honestly, like I don't know if they like actually like each other. I remember you texting me one night, you're like, I think I have to tell Kyle that like it's not that serious.
No, man. I was just speaking about it the other night, and we'll kind of transition this into another thing that I talked to Donna about. But just building that type of a thing, and it's always so cool for me to see other people want to be a part of it. Like I've had so many people come up to me and go, hey, for this, can I try doing this? Can I do this for that? Can I be a part of this in this way? And I mean, why would I tell them no? It's something that we've created, and it's been awesome. It's been so much fun.
Yeah. And what's funny about it is the rivalry. It's just like, it's on every show. Every show is talking about it.
Yeah.
And it like, major discussions talked about it. The Son of Sus show talks about it all the time. I remember Joey talking to me about it. And he was like, I kind of want to stick to sports in on it, but like, I don't want to intrude on like your guys' thing.
On the team.
Yeah.
Not playing with us. Yeah.
So it's, it's very fun. And to get the whole station involved, I think was very, very funny.
Yeah. So then to bring it into the point that I brought up with Donna, because, her and Megan do the Sanasa show and they build a relationship through their crew. I'd like to think in sports talk, we like to try to make the crew feel as important as possible. And being on your crew now at Laker Connections for two semesters, I've felt that. I felt like I go there, and it's not so much that I've done audio and video playback, and those, I'm gonna be honest with you, those are not hard positions to do. But I don't feel like I'm any less important than anybody out there, and that's something that you guys have built. Is that something that you guys have done intentionally, or is it just?
So I think we've gotten lucky at Laker Connections that the producer is always a high-ranking person. So this year. This year specifically, they didn't have a PM after the first, the first semester. Donna wasn't elected PM yet. So Megan, Brian, and Brewster, who was the OP director at the time, had to make the crews. And Brian's like telling me the story and about how he's got to make all these crews. And I go, hold on. I go, you're telling me that, you're telling me that we get to make our own crew. He's like, yes, actually, that is what I'm telling you. We do get to make our own crew. So we wanted to make the crew as best as we possibly could. We wanted to get the best people in there because we can. And because, at the time, this is no offense to everybody else's show. We were like one of maybe two shows coming back who knew what we were doing, knew what our structure was, knew what our plan was, and knew what having an OP on TOP meant.
Yeah.
Like Joey and Zach, their first couple times doing it, Joey said to me, like, I had no idea what went into this. Like Joey's showing up at 8 o'clock and like expecting like to do the entire thing. Yeah. Brian and I show up at 5 on Thursday to be able to do the whole thing. And I'm sure if it was like a professional TV station, I'm sure we'd be getting here a lot earlier.
100%.
Yes. Yeah.
But no, I mean, you know, it is just, it is cool at least to see, as I've now kind of gone in and checked out how other OPs run.
Yeah, a lot of the shows are really good. A lot of them have really improved.
Oh, the progression.
Yeah, the progression has been very, very good. Your guys' show even as well, Sports Talk. Everybody's really improved over there.
Yeah, it was just the other night I was laid in bed, just wasn't going to sleep, and was just scrolling through the old like TOP account and just going back to the fall and watching some of the old shows that are still on today, you know, your major discussion, your Sports Talk, even stick to sports to an extent. And watching the first episode of the fall semester and what's now becoming the last semester or last episode of the spring semester, and just watching it grow and be like, okay, that's a drastic change that you're seeing. And it is really cool to see people loosen up, people become more comfortable. And I don't want to toot our own horns, but I feel like because we've had this kind of dynamic where we like to mess around a bit and joke around and do our little rivalry, that's allowed a little bit more freedom for other shows to do what they want as well.
Yeah, it's definitely infectious. And I think when, you know, people see how much fun Donna and Meg will take all the credit for, you know, them doing that. But, you know, we really know who the real masterminds behind everyone having
fun.
They
deserve some credit.
Yeah, they're great. They're great. Yeah. Their show is great. The Vegas versus Meg staying home on spring break is very funny.
That was very good.
But yeah, no, I think when people see other people having fun, I think they're like, yeah, I want to join in and I want to have fun too. And that's exactly what has happened, I feel.
And that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah. Doing no, you're right. Stuff.
I mean, it goes back to what we literally started off talking about. It's the personality. Everybody in that studio has a unique personality that's great for them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's like a snowflake. So they get their own identity, their own personality. Why go on TV and make it all the same?
Yep.
So go out and show it. And I feel like to watch the progression as the semester's gone on is very, very cool.
Yeah, I definitely. And even here, like at our own station, WNYO, you know, a lot of the Spizak show is very good. Mm-hmm. Mike of the Oar show is very good time after time. The name is escaping me. There's a show that Jamie Kahn does as well that I think is pretty good. And people are just coming in here and having a good time. And that's exactly what it's all about.
It is what it's all about. Now, Aaron, we've talked a lot about how you entered into Oswego. We've talked about being here at Oswego. Now let's talk about as you get set in a couple of weeks to walk the stage. What is that like for you, knowing that it in a couple of weeks it's now time to start a whole new chapter of your life?
Yeah, I mean, I have to apply to like 5 jobs after this. it's scary, and you know, you build so many relationships here, and your life, this is really like your whole life is here. Like over the summer, like even when I was, you know, working a job and working an internship at the same time, you know, I'm still thinking about here and getting back and what I have to do and to get these broadcasts ready. This coming week, I don't know when this podcast is going to be posted. We're recording on Earth Day, April 22nd. But the 29th and 30th, it's 9 games in 2 days for WNYO Sports, which is statistically, based off of sheer math, is our biggest weekend of the entire year. So I still got a lot of work to do, and I only got 8 days left as sports director. You know, I don't know. I don't have a job yet. I've applied to a couple. I haven't really heard anything, and I feel like I, for some reason, am more freaked out about it than anybody else. Maybe I just show outward emotions, and like everybody else is keeping it in. But like my thing, you know, I had talked to a couple of people. I interned at CNY in the fall, and Tommy Sladek is the sports director over there. And I talked to him end of March, and you know, he was just kind of talking about where I wanted to go, this and the other thing. And he said the one piece of advice that I'll give you is, you know, in April, people are going to start getting jobs, lad.
Yeah.
And you're going to be freaked out that you don't have one yet because you're not going to have one.
Yeah.
And you can't worry.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine. It's not a big deal. My mother said the same thing, like, you'll get a job. Don't worry about it. It'll come. And like people just keep telling me this, right? Mm-hmm. People keep telling me like, you don't have to worry about it. Like not a lot of people get a job. But like, that's not like me.
Yeah.
Like I've been working since I was 2 weeks before my 16th birthday. Technically, I wasn't allowed to work.
Yeah.
And I was so eager to that, you know, I went and got a job and started making money. So I've always, you know, for the last 4 plus 2 is 6, 6 years, plus 6 years, I've always had a job, you know. And granted, I don't really consider the sports director jobs at NYO a job because, one, I don't really get paid for it.
Yeah.
But, and two, you know, I do love doing it. Mm-hmm. But I've always, like, you know, going home this year, like, if I end up having to go home and, like, having to get, like, a regular job again, that's going to, like, that's going to destroy me.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, I've worked that life for so long. I worked that job for 6 years of scooping ice cream or doing whatever, you know. I worked at Amazon for a month in 2021, January of 2021. I worked at Amazon because, like, nowhere else was hiring. And they were hiring and paying a lot of money. So I've always had a job. I've always found a way to make money. And if I have to go back, and, like, I just always remember thinking doing those jobs, like, one day, like, oh, I won't have to be here scooping ice cream or, you know, moving boxes on this truck. You know, one day I'm not going to have to do that. And, like, if I have to go back and do that, like,
I'm
nervous about it. I think it'll work out in the end. Yeah, I just, you know, you just have to keep applying and keep going. I'm going to miss it, though.
Oh, 100%.
You know? And, you know, it really sucks because you just, you know, I don't really think about it a whole lot because my junior year, because I had the house, you know, I had, you know, waking up every Saturday morning and having nothing to do is not necessarily something I didn't like. I actually loved it.
Yeah.
But I didn't get to cover the team, the hockey team for a whole year, the basketball team for a whole year. And that is something that, you know, I'll always not have. And I would have given up a lot to probably do it one more time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if I had to give you any type of advice, being, you know, only a sophomore and not even have to think about this yet in my life, but I mean, just seeing the way that you're involved. I mean, you mentioned the word about four times, eager. You're always eager to do things. The way you described to me how you've moved through the ranks from TOP into NYO and how you were one of the only freshmen, like, it's unheard of to get a sports board position, then there won't be any need for you to worry about going out into the real world because, one, you're talented as hell. And two, you go out there, and if you're eager like that, dude, there's going to be people that are going to be kicking your door down.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah. I hope you're right.
I don't see any reason why I wouldn't be. I mean, it's been, you know, I can say this now as we wrap up the semester, but it's been an honor, even though we haven't really worked so much together because we're in completely different orgs. But, you know, going down and doing the sideline has always been fun. And
yes,
you know, having a familiar face down there is great.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate that.
I thank you for helping me throughout the year. So
I appreciate that, Jake. Yeah. Appreciate it. No, you've been great. And all of you guys, this sophomore class is really, really talented.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what you guys are able to do over the next 2 years.
There's going
to
be some gaping holes as far as people in the offices.
Well, yeah,
that
of course.
We won't see all the time. Yeah. But I'm pretty confident with the people that will be stepping foot into those roles that it'll be
too.
Pretty good. But it's, you know, I say it all the time. And not going to the office and seeing Brian Redman or seeing Mike or seeing you.
Because they're
it's
always
gonna be
there.
Weird. It's going to be weird. Yeah. So it's going to take some getting used to. But no, just don't forget about us and come back as often as possible. That's all I got to say.
We will try. We will try. If I have the money, I will.
Well, all right, Aaron, let's get to our quiz that I had you take beforehand. I do this every week, but for those of you that don't know, a little 15-minute quiz called the VIA Character Quiz. 96 questions. You sit down, you fill them out, gives you a list of strengths at the end. Me and Aaron, we're going to sit down. We're going to discuss the top 5 strengths of his of his life, I guess you could say. So, Aaron, let's start things off.
So, listen.
Yeah.
Gotta be honest. I really only agree. I, you know, normally when I take these quizzes, I'm pretty amazed. And this one's a good one. Mm-hmm. Not to say that it's not a good one.
Yeah.
I think it is good because it was very thorough and it asked you a lot of questions. And a lot of questions that I hadn't really thought about before when I take these personality quizzes.
Yeah.
But I only agree with 4 out of 5 of them. I guess we'll go 10.
Yeah, we'll
so from 5, I got kindness, and under that it says humanity. So doing favors and good deeds for others, helping them, taking care of them, that's my whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
My whole family's really like that, just always being there for each other and being together, and I tried to do that for my sports board this year. I don't know if they'd agree with that, but I, you know, I'd like to say I'd try. Number four is teamwork. I've really learned the importance of that. Teamwork under that is justice. And it says working well as a member or group team, being loyal to the group, doing one share. That I definitely know my, you know, we had a 35-minute, like it's the end of the year. This is where things are supposed to be winding down.
Yeah.
Me and the WNYL Sports Board had a 45-minute meeting the other night about the 29th and 30th and how exactly we're gonna do this. So we've definitely done that. And here's the one I don't really agree with. It's number three.
Yeah.
It's spirituality.
Really?
Transcendence is under it. It says having coherent beliefs about a higher purpose or meaning in the universe, knowing where one fits within the larger scheme, having beliefs about the meaning of life that shape conduct and provide comfort. Now, I was raised in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. My mother is still a youth minister to this day, go to church every Sunday, all of that.
Yeah.
I definitely believe there's a higher purpose and there's a meaning of the universe and there is, you know, a God amongst us. But like, to put that as three, I was like very shocked. Maybe the quiz just knows me better than anyone else. The one I would put here is actually one that Donna got. It's leadership.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to brag on myself, but I was really fully expecting to get that in my top five strengths. Maybe I got to work on that, Jake.
Yeah. Well, maybe what was that? If you don't mind, could you read the thing that was under spirituality again? There was one sentence that stuck out to me.
Having coherent beliefs about a higher purpose and meaning of the universe, knowing where one fits within a larger scheme, having beliefs about the meaning of life and the shape conduct provide comfort.
I think it's that larger scheme
that
sticks out.
Yeah, maybe
if I can do any analysis on you, I would say that's what sticks out to me is that you not so much in the realm of a higher power, but more so in just, you know, where everything fits. You know, you said it earlier, you knew your purpose. And I think that's probably why that's at three. Like you say, kindness, I'd say you're a bit more kind than spiritual, but you know,
I
think that's accurate.
The second one was love, valuing close relationships with other, in particular those in which sharing and caring are reciprocated, being close to people. Jake Johnson will tell you that I do this a little too much with everyone. I definitely agree with that. I'm always looking to show support and all of my friends. I want all my friends and family to know that, mm-hmm. you know, I love and support them and would do anything for them. And number one, my friend Kevin and Jake Johnson as well are going to be shocked by hearing this, but humor is number one. Liking to laugh and tease, bringing smiles to others, seeing the light side, making not necessarily telling jokes.
Yeah, no, that's
now, I agree with that. Yeah. I think if Brian, Jake, and Kevin all looked at that, they would be like, what? This quiz is out of its mind. You are like the least funny person I know. So, people call me crazy a lot of times for my takes. Like, I think I'm very funny. Mm. And other people think I'm funny. I also think Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso are superstars. And Francisco Lindor deserved every penny, maybe even more, of that $341 million contract he's gotten. And everybody over the past year has told me, you're out of your mind. You don't know the sport of baseball. You have no idea what you're talking about. Liam walked in the office the other day and he looked at me dead in the eyes and goes, Aaron, you were right about Francisco Lindor. Yeah. Of course I was. Of course I was.
No, I mean, hey, to turn this off of you into Francisco Lindor, I mean, he's been one that I've followed pretty closely through the minors when he came up with Cleveland.
He's been one of my favorite players in the league. Like, as soon as he came up with Cleveland.
And it's so, for me, it was always so weird with him because, you know, he came up and he was never a power hitter. He didn't get a full season in each stop, but he only maybe would hit 12 a year. He goes to the big leagues, it's almost 30.
Yeah.
And it's like, and, you know, him with the Mets, I mean, it's the perfect place for him. His smile's infectious. He's in the big city under the bright lights. He's the perfect player for it.
And, you know, being a Mets fan my entire life, you know, that World Series team in 2015, Lucas Duda was the first baseman, and he was very good that season. He's out of baseball today. Yeah. I don't know, like, after, like, the two more years that they had him, I don't know where he went after they traded him.
Oh, say that about a lot of those guys in the team.
Yeah, Conforto currently doesn't have a team.
I mean, even the star Cespedes.
Yeah, Cespedes was out of baseball 5 years later. Curtis Granderson, he was one of the actual good players on the team.
Yeah.
David Wright. You know, that season, that was the first year of his real back issue, so he wasn't hitting. The shortstop was Ruben Tejada, and then after that, the shortstop was Wilmer Flores.
Yeah. So
I don't even know who Daniel Murphy.
Daniel Murphy.
who at the time was good yeah. and then was an all-star the next season, and then after that fell off the face of the earth. Darnell wasn't good at the time. So, like,
yeah.
again, like, so you have all those guys, and they're kind of just, like, a bunch of nobodies. David Wright is a star,
yeah.
but, you know, he had a lot of injuries in that season. He didn't play a whole lot. This year, you know, you look at the team. Forget Pete, because they drafted him. Yeah. Forget Nimmo, because they drafted him as well.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the team, and it's Francisco Lindor and Max Scherzer. Those two names alone,
yeah,
like, it's like a whole new universe.
Yeah, and after the if you look at the history of just New York baseball in general, if somebody said, okay, Max Scherzer and Francisco Lindor 5 years ago, if they said they're playing in New York, it's with the Yankees.
It's with the Yankees.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly right.
Yeah, so.
And Pete is, in my opinion, I think he's the third best first baseman in the game.
Okay.
Behind Freddie Freeman and people say Vladdy. I don't know if I consider him a first baseman.
Yeah.
People yell at me for that all the time too.
I'm a bit skeptical too, because he came up third and then first.
Yeah.
The
Max Muncy and Matt Olson are also very good, but I think and maybe it is biased, but I think Pete Alonso is just better than them. Like, everything about him, like, the way the city encapsulates him, the way he encapsulates himself, the few big hits in the three seasons he's had, like, you know, people don't talk about it a lot because he's just a pure power hitter, but he's doing things on a baseball field that, like, we've never really seen before. It's like him and Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Are like
the
only
Mets is Aaron Judge, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's great. Jeff McNeil was an all-star 2 years ago. So it's like a completely different organization in my eyes.
No, but
sorry to bring up the Mets, folks. It's just such a big part of my personality as
well. See, we both, my dad, like the same teams, but we dislike the same teams. So I'm okay with that. But hey, let's wrap up the five strengths. You said you were only shocked by one, and you mentioned early on with kindness that your family is very kind, and that's where you get it from. Do you think you could say the same for all five of those?
I'm sorry, say the question again.
As far as your family goes, like you mentioned,
would they say the same?
Yeah, would they say the same?
I don't know if my sister would necessarily agree with kindness, teamwork, and love, definitely. Humor, I definitely think my mother would definitely agree with spirituality. She's like, that should be one.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think they would agree with it. And it's not that I necessarily disagree with it. It's just like, you know, and maybe, you know, maybe it's something I need to work on. But I really just felt like, you know, a lot of things went wrong this year at NYO. A lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And we got through it all. We even made some history along the way. We're going to make history again on the 29th and 30th. I don't know. I thought that would be up there. But the quiz had different ideas.
So how many of those strengths do you think your family kind of taught you?
Spirituality, 100%. Kindness, 100%. Love, yeah. Definitely. We're a big family. We're very close. So definitely. Teamwork and humor. I think I learned a lot of my teamwork stuff from really being here. I always knew it was important, but really from being here and the last year, I've learned a lot about teamwork. Definitely that. And humor, I think, you know, I've gotten funnier with age. I'm like, fine, what? So yeah, definitely kind of spirituality, love, 100% my family.
Awesome. Well, I think that'll do it for us. Aaron, I mean, it's been a pleasure, but before I let you go, do you have any projects, any social medias, anything you might want to plug out into the world to let them know?
Yeah, hire me. please hire me. I will do anything in the world of sports broadcasting. Whether, you know, I'd be willing to go behind the scenes as well. So make sure you hire me. My Twitter is @AaronV_99. Make sure you're following me on there. And then, yeah, just listen to WNYO Sports. Listen to WNYO all the time. Your radio dial should always be tuned to that. And shout out. And Liam Gadamer is the one person I didn't mention in this podcast. He's also been a very big help this year. And he is the reason, he's part of the reason that this podcast 100% studio exists. So shout out to him.
Well, hey, I mean, yeah, I can echo the sentiment. Hire you, because the world's about to get a good one here in a couple days.
I hope so.
So, yeah, but hey, Aaron, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been great. And like I say, I hope this isn't the last I hear of you.
No, it won't be. It won't be for sure.
All right, Aaron, thank you very much. And once again, I didn't prep for this, so I usually end with a quote, but I didn't put one in the notes this time. So I apologize. You can think of one on
Donna,
your own.
Donna gave a quote. Donna gave a quote of her own.
You got a quote?
Yeah, I got a quote. And it goes back to what we talked about earlier. Francisco Lindor is a Met. Aaron Valentino, January 2020.
There we go. Wow.
That's the quote. 2021.
All right, Aaron. Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of Getting to Know You. I've been Jacob Bradley, and please stay safe.